Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us, or is that just you? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm trying to get in the mindset that it's not 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night.
It's been a really long time. That was totally my fault, though, because I came over here with a bunch of stuff that needed to get done, and I was like, all right, you're going to help me with everything I've been procrastinating on.
Em shows up and goes, do you have a box cutter? Also, do you have a Sharpie? And also, do you have packing tape? And
also, do you have a glue gun? Never mind, it's all in my car. I found
also,
all of it.
I'm taking all the keys off your coat hanger so that I can present.
Okay, Christine is a very good friend. By the way, this hasn't happened yet, but in the future, when you're hearing this, it will be Friendsmas or the day after Friendsmas. And so Christine
or
and I...
Friends boxing, froxing day, if you will.
My. Christine and I currently don't know what we got each other, but when you're listening to this, we've already know what's happened. And I'm going to tell you, I already probably love whatever you got me.
It was a wild ride. And also... so we're either doing a recording or a video of us opening our gifts, I think
for
Patreon peeps.
Poor Allison, Blaze, and Alexander are just going to have to sit there and watch us do it. They're going to be like, and we're like, everyone be quiet. It's Friendsmas.
Em, open the gift again and pretend you're surprised. But I will say that there was quite a hiccup with your gift that everybody knows except you. And it was honestly hilarious and horrifying, and I hope that it's rectified by Saturday. So we'll see.
I have no idea what's going on.
You'll find
out. I'm just going to smile and nod.
It's a good time.
But really, Christine is the ultimate friend because I came over today and I was putting on, literally, it was just one finishing touch for Allison's Christmas gift, and it took, what, 3 hours? We were like weaving Christmas lights, and it was
an experience.
It was an experience. But so Christine didn't complain at all. She just took it like a champ. And
well,
I was
it's
like,
great. And it looks awesome. And I'm very proud of you and your gift giving abilities.
Oh, well, thank you.
Why do you drink this week? Is that why?
No. Why do I drink? I had a good reason. I really did have a good reason, I thought. I remember being like, this is what I'm going to say on the show. Whoops.
Well, I have a good reason.
Why?
Listen. Blaze was like, hey, I'm going to do this nice thing for Christine because I had a really rough note session this week.
at work, and he was like, I'm gonna do this nice thing and I'm gonna build Christina a dresser. Okay. And it was like 5 hours later, the dresser is still like being situated, and I'm like, why don't I help? And so I'm like, I'm gonna see what's on the other side of this wood to make sure that you're doing this right. Mm-hmm. And instead I got my entire head jammed inside of the dresser drawer. Mm-hmm. And it got stuck in places. Like, Christine, take your head out. And I'm like, I don't think you understand that I can't take my head out.
How did it get in there if it couldn't get out?
That's what he said. But I was like, you know, when Georgia brought this up on My Fair Murder today, and I was like, thank you, someone understands. When you're a kid and you put your head through the banisters and it gets stuck.
Yeah.
It was like that, but sideways. And also I was in my underwear. So it was worse.
I got a text from you today saying that I woke up to a text from Christine saying, I got my head stuck in a dresser for 5 minutes today.
It was,
and it happened
minutes.
Right after my hand got stuck behind a fridge. So I felt like we were closer than ever.
I mean, I told him this, but I blame Mercury. It's fine. So Blaze was like, Christine, come on, stop. And I'm like, get Alexander, because he wasn't believing me. And he's like, you're in your underwear. And I was like, don't get Alexander. And then he had to unscrew it, the wood, to like pry me out of the dresser, and I still have like cuts behind my ears.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I was jammed in there, and I was like crying but also laughing.
In your underwear.
In my underwear. And I also had like basically a bottle of wine.
Of
so
course.
I thought I was being really helpful in a cool place to unscrew the dresser to pull me out. It was like a firefighter coming to like take me out.
He still has a chance to leave. I don't know why it just doesn't. I don't know why it just doesn't do it.
Listen, I don't either.
Actually, you know what? I lied. I do know why I'm drinking. It's because Christmas is around the corner. And
is this an ad?
No.
Christmas is around the corner.
Right around the corner. And so I've been really stressed about getting people's Christmas gifts. Like, you're the only person that was easy to shop for, to a point where I literally got your presents last minute because I was like, I don't even have to worry. Like, I'll just walk into a store and see a million things. But with everyone else, I've been freaking out for several weeks, like my own mom included.
Aww. It's hard to buy for parents, I feel like.
Especially when your parents can just buy whatever they want.
That's the issue.
It's like, what do you want? Oh, nothing. I already have everything I want.
And then they're like, something really personal and homemade and heartfelt.
My mom is the opposite, though. She's like, I want something really personal. And then I do it. And then she's like, thanks.
Yeah, you're like, here, I made a bucket costume for you with Wayne Brady's
and then
face.
You know what she did? She left it in California. And she was like, you can reuse it. And I was like, I won't.
She literally was like, someone will want this. And you were like, who the fuck would want this bucket costume?
She was like, it's fine. It's only a little bent. And I was like, oh, great.
I only sat in it in the sun for 4 hours.
Speaking of which, everyone is asking about Linda and The Price is Right.
Right.
And I texted her and I was like, people are freaking out.
Everyone watched it.
What's the deal? I know.
And
so many people
DVR'd it.
I wonder if people at The Price is Right or at Let's Make a Deal. I was saying The Price is Right, my bad. But I wonder if people at Let's Make a Deal were like, why did our numbers just skyrocket for this episode? It's because all of our listeners.
It's weird that the crossover between Investigation Discovery, like, right. like snapped.
Took a sharp left turn into the Game Channel.
It's like snapped and Game Channel suddenly just like collided.
But apparently I don't know if she got an email or what, but she's also been waiting to see the show.
Right.
And they told her that they ended up pushing the date back, and she doesn't know the date yet. But when she knows the date, she will tell me. And I told her to put it in the Facebook, too, so everyone will see.
Sorry, guys.
But everyone did a good job. Everyone was right on the date. December 8th was correct.
Yeah, and we just, like, forgot.
And then I forgot, too, because Christine texted me and was like, so your mom apparently wasn't on the show today. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Everyone was messaging me, and I was like, dude, I don't know. I was there, and I don't know.
Yep. Well, but obviously, I'm a good kid because I didn't even try to watch the episode.
We were over it because we were there. We didn't need to see it again. But we will say, we promise it actually happened and it was real and it's hopefully coming.
Hopefully, when you do get to see it, remember that what you're seeing on screen, know that we were in the audience rolling our eyes being like, oh, shit.
You can probably see us in the background just being like, God damn it.
Look really hard. We're all the way in the back and we're laughing hysterically or cowering.
I smacked him so hard. I was like, Linda.
You did look at me and you're like, we're going to remember this moment forever.
And it will probably be on TV. Anyway, also I want to add that our awesome moderator who we've brought up a couple times, Jessica, we're adding a couple more mods to the group because it's growing so fast. That's the secret ATWWD podcast group. If you're not in it, go join. But so Jessica has been dealing with all sorts of just like left and right issues and helping us out tremendously. So A couple listeners wanted to do something special for her. So somebody organized a GoFundMe to get Jessica to CrimeCon. Oh, by the way, we're going to CrimeCon. We haven't told you that yet, have we?
We have in the Facebook Live videos.
Yeah.
So not everyone knows. No. But yes, we're going to CrimeCon in Nashville in May.
Oh my God, we're so excited.
Get your tickets in a couple weeks because January 1st is the...
Yeah, we get a promo code for you guys, a special promo code. So wait for that. So you get a discount. And that also helps us get there.
Mm-hmm.
It like contributes to our trip there. But yeah, so we are going to give you a promo code. But Jessica was saying, you know, I wish I could go, but I don't think I have the funds for it. So somebody created a GoFundMe to help get Jessica to CrimeCon, which is so sweet. And we want to meet her. So we're
putting it out there. Everyone go help Jessica.
It's on the Facebook group. That's all I have. Gio's having a good time at daycare. That's why I drink too.
Oh, apparently he's made friends.
He did. They sent me photos today and I almost cried at work. Mm. And they said they had to bring out the dog, Kilo, who like helps with anxious dogs. But they said that Gio's making great strides.
Oh, baby.
And he's a little anxious, but he follows Kilo around. And they gave me a report card. And then I got home and was so proud. And I put it on the table to show Blaze. And then a few minutes later, I went back downstairs. And I found Gio in the backyard. And he had ripped the report card to shreds. So he's clearly making strides. You know, one step forward, two steps back.
Well, good. I don't have anything to report. I got the two new roommates.
Right.
My job is the same.
Great.
I'm training a new guy because I lost RJ, so I lost my roommate and my coworker. So I'm now living with a new person and training someone else. We miss RJ.
Well,
anyway, that's why I drink, because I miss RJ.
I miss RJ too.
Did you ever meet him? Yeah, one time.
Duh.
Right. How could I forget? A year ago before we were really friends.
We saw Elf together.
We did.
It was a special day.
All right.
Let's crack into it. I'm trying to make that a real thing again.
Are you really?
No.
I can make that a thing.
I mean, people were into it, and then it just kind of died out.
I intentionally made it die out because I didn't want to be known for that.
Oh. What do you want to be known for? Sassy? The clown? I mean, you're...
Fuck you.
You're creating all these things for yourself.
I am. I'm my own worst nightmare.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub and Leona and I planted it together, and we did find a creepy like saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast. And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there, and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with brand new releases and next listen recommendations. There's a story for every listener, from classic favorites to exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors. Elevate your heart rate with a pulse-pounding collection of thrillers you can't hear anywhere else, all brought to life with Premiere Audio. From eerie soundscapes to dynamic voice performances, you're guaranteed to be on the edge of your seat. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has your thrill needs covered. Plus, with an Audible membership, get access to thousands of titles and the chance to discover new favorites and formats, like the exclusive Words and Music series or a podcast. And Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I have to tell you about a thriller I recently listened to on Audible. It's called None of This Is True, and it is actually about a true crime podcaster. And I was surprised how much I got into it. It has, speaking of like immersive sound, it was such a good audiobook. I actually recommended it for one of the recent And That's Why We Drink newsletters. I always go to Audible for my thriller fix. New Audible members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500. That's audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
All right, so this is a story that was recommended to me by a guy named Cody.
Cody, what a cool name.
Or a girl named Cody.
Oh, or a girl.
By a person named Cody.
I'm keeping that in there.
Great. This is in New Mexico, and it's called the St. James Hotel. Oh, going for your wine, are you? There's the big bottle.
Em brought me wine today.
Today, Christine texted me and was like, so I forgot wine. Can you bring me wine? And so I got her the big kahuna. That's like two wine bottles put together.
It's one of the big...
It's like if a wine bottle were in like a 2-liter soda bottle.
Yeah, it's one of the big ones that they put on the bottom so that they don't fall off and break.
It's like one that you bring to a giant party, but Christine's going to drink it all by herself.
Giant party indeed.
You would make a good pirate pulling corks out of bottles with your teeth.
Thank you. My parents always yell at me for using my teeth to open things, but look who's laughing now. Definitely me, because I've been drinking too much wine. Let's go on with the St. James Hotel. St. Okay. Jonathan. What's it?
St. James.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Cody.
Okay, so the story begins, well, the prequel begins in 1862, because you know I love a good prequel.
We love a good prequel.
So Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, great.
Told President Lincoln, you know, they're just hanging out.
Oh, sure.
As they do. And he told President Lincoln to hire a guy named Henry as his personal chef. Can you see where I'm going with this?
Oh my God.
Very spooky stuff.
It sounds like a HelloFresh commercial. Hey, have I got something for you?
Have I got something for you? So Ulysses S. Grant and President Lincoln talk about this guy named Henry.
Henry.
Henry becomes Lincoln's personal chef per request of Ulysses S. Grant.
That's pretty dope.
So that was in 1862.
Mm-hmm.
3 years later, Henry is still Lincoln's chef, and then Lincoln gets assassinated.
Oh,
whoops, shit. He lost his job. So Henry now has nothing to do, so he makes his way across to the west in search for gold.
Because it's just like, I have nothing to do.
Like the gold rush.
He didn't make enough money to like, well, I don't know.
I
think Lincoln's chef would like.
I feel like in 2017, if you're the president's chef, like you never have to work again. But in 1865,
like Guy Fieri or something.
Yeah.
No, maybe not.
But in 1865, you like probably also had two other jobs.
Oh yeah, you were like living in the servants' quarters. Or
exactly.
Something. Okay.
So, anyway, Henry went on his quest for gold,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when he got there, he was like, "All right, I'm not making enough
gold."
He got
where?
Out west.
To gold.
Well, he got to New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And he decided, okay, well, the gold out here is not what I expected.
So, it doesn't live up to my high expectations.
As the president's chef, I expected more out of the gold here.
That's fair.
So he was like, how about I just pick up cooking again? And so he started cooking for the miners in town.
Oh.
And it was a town called Elizabethtown in New Mexico, but the nickname was E-Town.
Oh, that's pretty radical.
Life-changing, some might say.
E-Town.
So anyway, in E-Town, where he's cooking up for the miners, a land baron named Lucian...
Stop it.
...walked through and tasted his food. Just walked through.
Wait, what do you mean what?
just moseyed into New Mexico.
I don't think you know how many questions I have, but I'm just going to be quiet.
So he... Anyway, Lucian shows up, just pops on over.
I need you to say every time a land baron named Lucian.
Okay, so I'll
clarify.
A land baron named Lucian just kind of stopped by.
Sure.
Tasted Henry's food and was so impressed that he offered Henry a job cooking for him in a nearby town called Cimarrone. Is that a real town? New Mexico.
S town is what I'm going to call it.
Well, it starts with a C.
Oh, C town.
It looks like cinnamon almost.
Oh.
Can you imagine if I just went with the rest of the story and just called it fucking Cinnamon Town? God, people would kill me.
I mean, it's not far off from what we actually probably do and don't
I mean,
realize.
Dr. Carrot obviously lives in Cinnamon Town.
Dr. Carrot.
So, anyway, so in 1872, he's now working in Cinnamon Town. Uh-huh, and uh-huh. Henry... I hate myself.
Hold on. Henry is working in Cinnamon Town, right?
Yeah, and he's cooking under Lucien, Land Baron.
Land Baron named Lucien. So how, like, I don't understand. This guy's just, like, wandering through and is like, wow.
He's kind of like how I turn into a clown and then a ghost hunter and then have a podcast but also work in props. Like,
it just happens.
Like, things just take sharp left turns always.
So someone just walks through.
He was, like, not even... He just, like, became the president's chef. Like, and then he just went to the West, and then he didn't find gold during the gold rush.
No, he did, but he just wasn't. Like, he was disappointed in it. But so how did Ulysses S. Grant even find him to be like, hey, President Lincoln?
See, that's the prequel to the prequel, and I did not get that
far. Got you. Okay.
So, anyway, Henry's cooking for the land baron named Lucien.
Right.
In 1872, and becomes so successful that he begins building his own saloon down the street.
Nice.
In Cinnamon Town. A lot of things in that sentence were so wrong.
Sounds like a board game.
It does.
Like Candyland.
It's like Candyland, the spinoff. Right. It's like the knockoff Candyland.
But the better
Cinnamon
version.
Town.
Let's make that. Seriously. Trademark.
Trademark. Yeah, you got it. Okay.
Copyright. So,
whatever symbol needs to be after Cinnamon Town.
R with a circle. What does that mean?
I don't know. Let's try this again. So anyway.
Oh, am I distracting?
Henry's cooking. Just cooking away.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins building his last name is Lambert, Henry Lambert. He makes Lambert's Saloon and Billiard Hall.
Sounds like a fun time.
So Lambert's Saloon becomes wildly popular, catering to cowboys, miners, frontiersmen, traders, everyone that existed in the Wild West.
Oh, sure.
The saloon was doing so well that he also added 30 guest rooms and it turned into the St. James Hotel.
Cool. Wait, who's James?
A saint?
The fuck? He's just like, I liked his name.
Yeah, I don't know why it didn't become Lambert's Hotel.
You'd think so.
I feel like if I were, like, rich enough to make a business after myself, obviously my name would be in there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. He, like, wasn't up to the standards of gold, so maybe he wasn't up to the standard of his own name on the saloon. He was like, Lambert's Saloon is so last year, so.
He's like, since no one has anointed me as a saint yet.
Right.
M's Empire. I'm trying to think of a good name.
Empire.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Empire.
You got it.
Yep.
You're there.
I'm there.
So anyway, this seems to be the exact same sentence I say every fucking time I'm describing the history of a hotel.
Give it to me.
It was considered to be one of the most elegant, luxurious hotels west of the Mississippi.
How many of those are there?
I feel like it's kind of like how in all those commercials, they all say, we're the best. Like, you know, like in Elf, when it's like, world's best coffee. Good for you.
Congratulates everyone, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like every single hotel in the 1800s thought it was the only one.
The most luxurious.
So even if it was a piece of crap, it was still the most luxurious west of the Mississippi because nobody had ever been more than 5 miles from that hotel, so they had no idea.
Right.
Anyway, so it became a very popular saloon, as they all seem to.
Mm-hmm.
And before long, the hotel was filling up with really famous people that were out in the Old West, like Jesse James stayed there a lot. He always stayed in room 14.
Oh.
And when he would, like, sign, like, check in, he would always use the name R.H. Howard, which was his, like, AKA.
Whoa, that's pretty badass.
So Buffalo Bill was also there. Annie Oakley was there.
She's my hero, by the way.
Oh, neat.
Love her.
Well, she used to rehearse for the Wild West show there. Wyatt Earp.
I know Wyatt Earp.
He was staying there at the St. James on his way to Tombstone, which sounds like another place we should cover.
Nobody should go there.
And that's where he became friends with Doc Holliday. And Zane Grey penned Fighting Caravans while staying in the hotel. And Governor Lew Wallace wrote part of Ben-Hur there.
What the actual hell?
Other famous guests were Doc Holliday, Billy the Kid, Bat Masterson, Kit Carson, and Bob Ford, who killed Jesse James.
Holy crap.
So since it was just covered in violent cowboys, at least 26 men were killed in gunfights at the hotel.
Oh my God.
No big deal. They tried to bury that lead, but
I know.
But also here we are.
But my favorite is that back then that was luxurious. Now if 26 people were killed in a hotel, it's called the Cecil Hotel, and they're like, don't go
it's
in
like,
there.
It's like, actually, it's called the Stay on Main.
Yeah. No, right. Don't tell
actually,
us the real
we
name.
Have to totally rebrand for the 9th time in a row. So anyway, the St. James, the ceiling. Okay, so here's the thing.
Mm.
Here's my favorite fun fact of this story.
Oh my.
So when Henry...
Mm-hmm.
built this saloon slash hotel, he knew that it was there was going to be a lot of violent cowboys walking in. Also pompous of him to think that he's good enough.
We've already determined that Henry is so full of himself.
I know.
Gold is not good enough.
And so he knew that a lot of like bad guys would be coming in. So when he built the saloon, he added 3 feet of hard wood above the tin ceilings because he knew that bullets would be shooting left and right, and he didn't want the bullets to go through the ceiling and go through the floor just, of like, the upstairs people, and right? shoot people.
That so is crazy.
He intentionally like doubled up the floor so that people upstairs sleeping wouldn't get shot by accident.
Just like,
bing, also, bing. Why are you fucking sleeping there if that's even a possibility?
Like, why would you sleep on that floor? I would sleep like 4 floors up.
I would sleep in a different county.
Oh yeah, I would not be there at all. That's a good point.
Okay. Your childhood and my childhood were very different. We were like, oh, I'm getting shot like 4 floors up. It doesn't really matter.
I'm like, just put a couple feet in between me. I'll sleep just fine.
In my mind, I'm like, okay, I need 2 states between us. Okay, so over time, mining and ranching became less popular jobs and the town's population declined, just like every other story about the hotels. I don't even know why I do the history anymore. I feel like the next time I say hotel, we should all just copy and paste my script.
Yes.
And just it'll be just like boop, boop, boop. It was the most luxurious of its time in the west of the Mississippi, and then one day it declined because of railroads. You know how like the trains took out a lot of people?
Bing bam boom.
Let's just all remember that from now on.
Okay, remember it.
So it fell into disrepair, as they all do, and was passed from owner to owner, as they all are, until the mid-1980s, where it was...
1980s?
I know.
Oh, wow.
Long time.
We jumped forward.
Oh, we sped through time. It's very... my dad wrote a porno of like, oh, we're in the 1980s now?
My favorite is when he goes, oh, no, it was a different paragraph. It was a new paragraph. They're like, wait, we're in a different week? And he's like, yeah, it was a new paragraph. Like, that denotes, like, a total skip in time.
I like when they're like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, that was a time lapse. Anyway, in the 1980s, you remember those?
Sure, yes.
The hotel was purchased and restored to its original state.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the furniture is original. Just like every fucking story. I don't know why I do this. Is this my old notes? I think I just read on top of old notes.
Oh my god, what if these were just like a different... Yeah.
I'm not. I swear I use a different Word document every time. But like, also, I wouldn't be surprised if someone wanted to claim that I do that.
I mean, the way you fold them up in a little piece of paper and put them in your pocket, I would never know if it's a new... Like, it looks all the same.
That's true. It all looks like a mess. But anyway, so all the furniture is original, all the way from the antique chandeliers to the beds and dressers in the guest rooms. They're all from the Old West.
That's pretty cool.
When people slept in them. So like room 14 bed, like Jesse James slept in that shit.
Oh, ew. That's a little gross.
So staying there today is, quote, eerily similar to staying there in the Wild West days. It's so originally stored and so meant to look like it did during the Wild West for you to feel like you're part of that world. That it's not at all a modern hotel.
Oh my god.
Which means there's no phones, no radios, no televisions, still? No air conditioning.
The hell?
In New Mexico.
Why does anybody...
I why would you pay to be there?
I want to go there for a minute and then leave.
It's very much... I want to look around and be like, oh, like, and then go to lunch.
Take me to the Ritz-Carlton now.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, we got to get to the Marriott.
Sure, I'll take the Marriott, it's fine.
Sure, sure, sure. Do you have a favorite hotel?
No.
Oh, I do.
What's yours?
The W.
Oh.
Oh, I love the W. Very
she-she. The W, like, here in LA?
I mean, it's, like, more than just...
Is it a chain?
Yeah. It's the Westin, but spruced the fuck up.
Oh, because Alexander's old boss used to live there.
I'm not going to name names. I would absolutely live at the W.
I mean, yeah, but he's also a multimillionaire.
Yeah, you have to be to stay there. It's such a nice... Oh, my God.
His apartment was...
Yeah, I imagine.
Bananas.
Guys, if you've never been in a Westin, not a Westin. Ugh. Oh my gosh.
Oh, how dare
I'm sorry.
You.
I sound like Henry right now. But if you have
you
not,
sound like Henry.
If you have not stayed in a W, you are not living your best life.
Listen, I've never stayed in a W.
You're not living your best life.
Clearly.
One day we'll be so rich and powerful that we'll live in a Westin. So not a Westin. Damn it.
We'll live in a Westin.
No, we won't. We'll live in a W. We'll visit the Westin and laugh at people.
Solidified our fate that someday we're going to live in a Westin. especially
at least I'm not
motel.
Saying like a Motel 8 or like a Ramada.
Oh, that's what it's called. Ramada
Inn. Did you know my mom is banned from Ramadas?
I did. And also, did you know people always call my mom Ramada? And they go, oh, like the hotel because her name's Renata. So when you tell me that, I'm like, oh, our moms are like
kind of related.
Similar.
Yeah. Interesting. My mom will probably be banned from knowing your mom too. So it's a full circle.
And probably call her Ramada. So it's like,
oh, absolutely. My mother will call her Ramada. So back to Henry.
Sure.
The hotel fell into disrepair in the 1980s. Oh yes. We time traveled in the 1980s. It was purchased and restored and it has no television. Disgusting.
Oh, foul.
It reminds me of that episode of Friends when Joey's like, you don't have a TV. What the fuck do you point all your furniture at? That's how I feel about this hotel. It's like, where does everything go?
Literally, how do you function?
So in 1881, Henry was playing cards with some men. This is where the spooky shit starts happening. Get ready, guys. Oh, my. Everyone tune in.
Get ready.
In 1881, oh, because we've gone back in time now.
Wait. Literally 100 years. Okay.
I'm sorry. My name is Rocky Flintstone, and I just don't know what I'm doing.
I have whiplash.
100 years worth of whiplash.
Mm.
Anyway, hurts. I think it was just it was very stressful for me to see that there isn't a television in this hotel, and so I needed to like report it before I forgot to.
You were like,
I was like, anyway, back to 1881.
Hold the non-existent phones.
Back to 4 years before Marty McFly gets there in the third sequel.
Right, sure.
So, Henry was playing cards with some men in the card room because of course there was one.
Right.
And he was so confident in his hand that he bet the hotel.
He's such a dumbass.
Maybe Henry didn't even want the hotel at this point. He was like, it's old.
It's not good enough.
So a guest of the hotel named TJ Wright, he also felt very confident in his hand and agreed to the bet. And he won.
Wait, what was he betting?
Like, he was like, oh, you think that your hand is good enough and you're betting the hotel? I'll take that bet.
Yeah, but like, was he like saying, and if you win, like, what did he get from him?
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, well. Who knows? Pride taken away? I don't know. So anyway, he won and essentially got the hotel.
Jesus.
He went upstairs to his room because he was a guest there. So he went upstairs. Not like he just like was like, now I own the place.
This is my room.
This is my domain now. He went upstairs to his room that he was staying in to go to bed. And while he was walking down the hall to his room, he turned the corner and was shot from behind.
Sure, of course.
I
just feel like in those days, like, don't you know someone's going to shoot you if you, like, win their hotel? Like, this happened. I feel like...
First of all, I would never... Thank God I'm not a lucky person, because if I... if I won anything from anyone, I would just assume they're going to kill me. I'd be like, oh, no, here we are.
No, have it back, please.
It's like, are you lucky at that point?
No.
No. Like, honestly, you're luckier to not be lucky and not have to be in that situation. Poor TJ. Poor TJ. He did not die right away. So he stumbled into his room, which was room 18. Fun fact.
Oh, no.
Shut the door and slowly bled to death while waiting for help, but nobody came. What? Because the owner shot him. So they think.
Except he wasn't the owner anymore because TJ was the owner.
And there it is. Or did he ever really lose the hotel if he shot him right away? Well, let's not get philosophical.
All right.
Let's just avoid that.
What do you mean? That's what this podcast is all about.
Oh, right. Yeah. For all the philosophy majors out there, welcome to your test. Just listen to us for an hour and try not to rip your hair out. So
try to explain what's happening.
Because explain it to us, because we don't know.
And then you'll solve everything. The meaning of life.
So he stumbled to his room and died. And room 18 is now considered the most haunted room in the hotel. Oof. Nobody is allowed to enter the room, and it is padlocked at all times.
No one's allowed to enter it?
Mm-hmm. And there's a padlock on the front door.
What the fuck?
You can see it locked
up. What do you mean? They just, like, do they...
They're like, no, nobody get in there.
Or anything?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
Staff says whenever anyone goes into that room, something bad happens in the hotel. So that could be, like, a fire or a robbery. I don't know. They didn't give me a list.
Tell me more.
Or, like, I don't know, like, you cook something in the microwave and it comes out cold in the middle. So, like...
Wait, no way. That sounds...
Seriously, I would never want anyone in that room
either. No,
fuck
that.
Rumor has it that the reason they won't let people stay there is because there's actually been a more than average number of mysterious deaths happening in that room.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, before they locked it up, a lot of people were staying there and just dying for no reason.
Okay, that's worse than just, like, the microwave.
Is it?
First of all, there's no way they have microwaves there if they don't have a fucking telephone. But
okay, that's a good point.
That's be
obviously. So then that's not even in the running then.
Okay, so people are dying is top of the list now.
Left and right.
Okay.
So then they were like, okay, we gotta, like, tone the shit down and we're just gonna padlock it. If nobody can get in there, no one can die mysteriously. And so
sure.
so far it's working.
Seems logical.
Basically, there wasn't a strict, like, record at the time of people staying at the hotel or people dying in the hotel, because back in the 1880s, it's like, well, everyone's dying.
Right.
So why write it down?
Everyone's dying.
Everyone's getting shot by cowboys. I mean, 26 of them died in the hotel. But at some point, you just got to be like, why even write it down?
Like, where we just need to find a place to put
it's
them.
Like, I have a hand cramp. Too many people. So since there wasn't like, it wasn't like a priority of the time, there's no record of TJ's death in the hotel, but there's proof that a TJ Wright existed because he was born in New Mexico in the year that he said he was born. And one of the original guest registries that they found during the restoration in the 1980s, they found like an old registry and it said that TJ Wright was staying there for 3 nights on the night that he supposedly died.
In room 18?
It didn't, I don't know.
Oh, that's so creepy.
But so like there's proof that he was there. Yeah. And he never left. So.
Good one.
Wild ride over here. Wild ride for one. So,
for one and only one.
Party of one. So employees of the hotel advise all of the guests to avoid that area while traveling through the floor. So like if they want to get to their room, to take a different route than like crossing the room.
Why would you go there?
One former owner of the hotel even says that someone pushed her down the stairs while she was trying to get into the room to clean it. While other witnesses say that they have seen a ball of orange light floating out of the room, and others have seen, like, if the door was open, like, yeah. I guess sometimes staff has to get in there. They have seen the chandelier in there swinging so crazy that it's flipping itself over.
Oh.
Those who have sensed him say that he's incredibly unfriendly, very angry, and wants to be left alone. And they assume he's very angry because he died instead of winning a hotel.
I mean, I would be fucking angry too.
Mm-hmm.
And then no one helps you and you bleed out in your room.
But that's kind of sad that you didn't even win the hotel and now you're just going to like hang out there. It's like in the afterlife, he's like, well, then I'm just going to stay for as long as I want. Like just to get his.
Yeah, but he was also like violently murdered and no one came to his rescue. I feel like I'd be, like, bitter.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be bitter.
Okay.
I mean, like, if I were to die and be a ghost and God was like, okay, do you want to, like, be an angry, bitter ghost or, like, a happy one? I'd be like, well, I mean, I still got a lot of shit to be mad about. I would just go haunt everyone.
I think that's what he's doing.
Yeah, so I'm on his side.
Oh,
okay. I would haunt you is the moral of this.
Oh.
If I go first, like, I'm going to haunt the shit out of you.
I mean, I thought that was already agreed upon, but it's fine.
All right. I mean, I'll just like, I'll be a friendly haunt though. Like I'll make sure the wine always stays filled.
Wait, really?
No.
If you die tonight, that's why. Cause I'm nope.
What? Because that's the only bottle of wine you have and you don't want to go shopping for more?
I thought that was funny. And then I said it out loud and I was like, that's horrible. I don't mean it.
Aw.
Please be safe. Please don't.
Oh my
die. Gosh.
Guys. Oh my.
We're having a moment.
Oh my.
Please leave us alone. We're having a moment.
Oh. Wait, nope, don't leave us alone. Come back.
God damn it.
I don't want to be alone.
You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know M and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy, but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it. And I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Oh, I'm trying to get through this story, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not helping.
So employees avoid the room at all costs and avoid it so much so that it has not been renovated in decades. The only things in there are a table, playing cards, a shot glass, and an empty bottle of Jack Daniels.
Ew. And a chandelier.
And a chandelier.
This is the creepiest room ever. I'm picturing
I wonder
it.
How old the bottle of Jack Daniels is. But it's apparently just like bare, bare bones because they don't even want to go in there and touch stuff.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I mean, why would they put stuff in there, you know?
I think in case it like the door opens, it looks relatively decorated.
Oh, maybe. But like, well, yeah, you wouldn't want to take anything out either. You're like,
yeah,
I don't want to fuck with it.
So anyway, it's just they try to avoid that room at all times. So Henry's wife, Mary, lived in the hotel with him, also like gave birth to their kids there. 2 of their kids died there.
Oof.
And then she also died there in 1926. Oh, so we're just time traveling again. Sorry. So
listen, I'm into it.
I'm just keeping you on your toes.
As usual.
So staff call her the protector because apparently she haunts the place as well, but she watches out for people. And they will smell rose perfume. And she has appeared to people as a full-bodied white apparition. So just like a white light in the shape of a human.
Oh, wow.
If you are staying in her room, which is 17, which is right next to room 18.
Oh, my God.
It's like good versus evil.
I was about to say, battle.
If you leave the window open while you're sleeping, she will start tapping on the glass because she wants you to close it. And then if you ignore it, it'll start turning into banging on the glass until you can see the glass vibrating.
I mean, I feel like, okay, maybe she did protect her spirit, but that would scare the absolute shit out of me.
Or she's just like crazy anal. She's like, excuse me, close the fucking window.
She's like, my OCD will not let me pass to the afterlife.
Can you imagine if you still have OCD after you die?
Like, it's, oh, that sounds horrible.
That's its own curse. So anyway, she'll tap slash beat on the glass until you actually close it.
Wonderful.
Also, her 2.5-year-old son, Johnny, died there from fatal burns of hot oil to his body.
Oh my God, what?
He like was running around and one of the servers had a bunch of fried foods.
No.
And it fell on him.
That's so sad.
Guests and staff have seen him running around the hallways, playing in the hotel and getting into mischief. One bartender saw him in a long white gown spinning a bottle while sitting at the bar. A 2.5-year-old, by the way. Sounds like your child.
He's like, listen, I have stories to tell?
Listen, the reason I'm spinning this bottle is because I chugged it first.
Who wants a
if
kiss?
If these walls could talk, man. So anyway,
poor Johnny.
The bartender saw him sitting at the bar by himself because the 2-year-old really needed a drink.
He somehow climbed onto a bar stool.
And okay. He was like, I'll have what she's having.
Yikes.
And thinking he was a guest.
Thinking the 2-year-old was a guest?
Well, like, I guess assuming it was like a guest's kid.
Oh, okay.
Said, hey, why don't you go find your parents and go back up to your room. When Johnny looked up at him, half of his face is horribly scarred with burns.
No.
And he jumped off the stool and disappeared into the floor.
Do you have any idea how much that would scar me? Like, I would quit that job immediately.
Yeah,
terrifying.
I mean, like, all of a sudden he looks up at you.
No.
He's got horrible scars, and then he like literally dives into the floor.
Just even the notion when people say like a ghost looks them in the eye, like it knows you're there.
Yeah,
that scares.
You could be the prettiest ghost in the world if you look me in the eyes. I don't like it.
I'm donezo.
So there are
you
also
could be the hey, pretty lady ghosts. You heard it here first.
There are also 2 little girl ghosts who died of diphtheria in the late 1800s.
Diphtheria?
Yeah.
It's one of those like Oregon Trail diseases.
Well, I know that because I died to that a lot when I played Oregon Trail.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, you died of dysentery. And I was like, probably.
I always drowned when I was trying to fix the wagon.
It was always dysentery or diphtheria.
Or cholera.
I never died of cholera.
Oh, I always died of
cholera. I regularly died of dysentery. That was probably 90% of my deaths.
Dysentery was, everyone died of that. It's just horrible. Diphtheria, I think, is like a virus.
All right. I'll believe you.
I don't know. I made that up.
Okay. I believe you.
Okay.
Okay. Because we're best friends.
And we trust our if one of us is stupid, knowledge. Then
both of us are. So both of the little girl ghosts are polite and well-behaved, and that has been determined because they have been heard saying, "Thank you, mister," and "That's not funny, Johnny." Anytime Johnny does something mischievous, you'll hear a little girl say that.
When Johnny looks people in the eye and then burns into the floor.
When he dives into the ground. Half just burned. Melts into the hardwood floor.
No.
I dropped my notes.
Oh my god. That's not funny, Johnny.
Oh god. Anyway, as one of the perks at this hotel, if you are an employee there, you get to live there. Oh yay! Thank you.
Actual fuck.
What a great benefit.
You don't get a phone, you don't get internet, you don't get a TV.
There's
you get fucking,
I was like, yeah, you can live here for free with no amenities and no fun. And also like, a lot of fucking ghosts.
Demons are just always with
no
you.
Big deal. So one employee, her name was Lyle.
I'm just gonna nod.
Lyle started working there and moved into the room directly across from the Mary Lambert room, who was the protector and watch 17. Over people. Mm-hmm. So it was right across from 17, which means it was right next to room 18.
Oh, shit.
So right away, she was like in the crossfire between like...
good and evil.
Good and evil. She immediately started having problems sleeping and would wake up several times at night for no reason at all. Like no noises were waking her up. She would just wake up.
In the dark and there's no fucking...
and there's no TV to distract you.
You can't just, like, play the radio or TV.
She can't, like, listen to our podcast to get through it. God, that sounds like a dream slash nightmare.
Can you imagine a world without people being able to listen to our podcast?
It sounds a lot like what the world was like in January 2017.
Sounds like a pretty hellish time for everyone.
So right away she started having sleeping problems and would wake up several times a night for no reason at all. And paranormal investigators regularly toured the hotel. And so when she found out when they were coming in, she found a psychic working with them and was like, "You have to check out my room because I don't know what's going on, but I can't sleep anymore." And without being given any info, the psychic told her that someone named TJ was trying to possess her.
No.
And someone named Mary was stopping him.
No. Okay.
Was literally in the crossfire.
I just got chills.
She was being a pawn in their game.
So Mary's like sticking around to... that's so fucked up, dude.
Yeah, so she was right across the street from someone taking care of her and next to someone trying to possess her.
This is horrifying. Like in her sleep, I can't.
So she was like, "Oh well, I still want to stay in the room," because Lyle apparently is an idiot.
Lyle.
And the psychic was like, "No, move." And so she moved into a different room, and as of that night, doesn't wake up in the middle of the night anymore.
They need to shut this place down.
But apparently, she kept waking up because she was like spiritually. Like, getting disturbed.
There's fucking spiritual warfare happening.
Yeah, right over her.
Aww.
Right through her.
Yikes.
So, there's another spirit there. This is the last spirit, I think. And he is a mischievous, gnome-like man named the Little Imp. I left him for last because I thought you'd enjoy that. Merry Friendsmas. He likes to play tricks on the living, especially annoying new employees. He once appeared on a bar stool and laughed at the young man that was working because he had to clean up the dining room. Like, just, like, showed up and was like, ha, 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 and just teased him and then popped away.
I like how the two-year-old is just, like, sitting at the bar drinking.
Like, he's lived, like, a century's worth of wisdom. And
the
then
full-grown, like, weird imp man is, like, acting like a two-year-old. Yeah. I don't understand.
I like how that was your takeaway from any of this.
I just keep picturing that creepy two-year-old with a white gown drinking or whatever.
And he really does like put on such a somber appearance of sitting so creepy. Sadly at a bar. And then this little imp just imp pops man. Up.
What's his name?
The Little Imp.
Oh, right.
So anyway, this little imp, he also has taken a steak knife and stuck it into the floor between two owners of the hotel while they were arguing.
Oh,
like,
my.
The little imp was like, "If you want to get crazy, we can get fucking crazy."
He's like, "I am here."
He's like, "I'm ready for this kind of mischief.
I've been waiting for this moment."
He's like, "I sense tension and I'm here to bring it to a full throttle.
I'm here to introduce weapons."
0 to 60, the little imp.
Oh, my God.
So
is he a human
that die? I don't know.
Oh my god, what the fuck?
I don't know. He also makes lampshades and glasses crack all by themselves, mm-mm, and objects disappear and reappear in other places. We all know that.
Yes.
Many of his tricks are followed by an eerie chuckle whispered into your ear.
Oh god, I don't...
He sounds like a troll under a bridge.
Yeah.
He sounds like you have to, like, ooh, answer my riddles three to cross the bridge. Like,
yes.
Anyway.
And like,
can you imagine if a ghost just popped up one day and was like, answer my riddles three and I'll disappear. And I'm like, oh, okay.
We would fail immediately.
I'd be like, I just want to answer them right the first time, so you go. But that's the true torture, too. It's like, if you're not good at riddles, he's just going to keep haunting
that
them.
That knife is just going to come straight.
What if instead of exorcists, we just tried answering riddles and just saw what happened?
What's wrong with you? We would never succeed at anything.
Yeah, we should just call the exorcist.
Yeah.
So two girls were staying at the hotel together, and one of the girls went to go take a shower, and the whole time she was in the shower, the door to the bathroom kept opening and then slamming shut, followed by a laugh.
Okay, this guy is becoming less fun and, like, more and more creepy.
And so the little girl, or not the little girl, well, that'd be even creepier. So the girl kept telling her friend to quit, but it happened every couple minutes, where the door would slowly open and then slam shut, and then you'd hear a laugh. So when she got out, she went to yell at her friend, but the friend wasn't there.
No.
And she found out later that her friend had been out the whole time at the pharmacy. So, in the hotel, you can also feel cold spots. You can smell cigar smoke. Guests and staff will regularly feel like they're being watched in a very evil way. Things constantly fall off the wall of shelves, counters. You hear a lot of laughter from either the little girls and or the little imp.
God, he sounds so much more harmless than he actually is.
I know, the little imp or the creepy imp.
Or like the creepy...
Or the little pervert.
Stalker pervert.
So computers and phones at the front desk regularly break down and will only fix themselves after the spirits get scolded.
Okay.
And it's like, little imp, you come down here. Little imp, join your little geek squad and figure out my computer.
Or you're like, to your little Johnny, come up through the floor right now.
I need you to rise from the head from the floorboards.
I saw you melt into the ground.
Don't you make me come down there. Cameras and video equipment often break or don't work correctly. A lot of times they'll shut down within an hour of being there. The dining room, which was previously the saloon part of the hotel, still has its original mirrored bar. And many guests swear that when they're sitting there, they can see through the reflection of the mirrored bar a cowboy sitting next to them. Uh-huh. And they'll finally look up and nobody's there. A previous owner said that every time she would turn off the lights before leaving, they would be on again before she even got to the parking lot. Like, she'd get to her car and look into the window and they'd still be on. And it happened so often when she was the last one there.
Mm-mm.
That eventually they just started leaving the lights on 24/7. So the electric bill's probably wild.
Oh, I don't even... Yeah, except like, especially they don't have...
Except they have... Maybe it breaks even.
Don't have TVs, yeah.
Psychics have identified at least 7 constant spirits in the hotel, but there's also many passersby.
What the fuck?
And the show has been featured on A Current Affair, Ghost Adventures, and Unsolved Mysteries.
The show? You mean the hotel?
The hotel has been featured on shows including A Current Affair, Ghost Adventures, and Unsolved Mysteries.
What's A Current Affair?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Thanks, Cody.
Thanks, Cody, whoever you are.
What's your story?
Do you want to know about Pedro Lopez, the monster of the Andes?
Yeah.
So I get emails from The Lineup, which I don't know. Do you know The Lineup?
Yes.
Okay. So it's this cool website. They have like a lot of creepy horror, like true crime and paranormal stuff, and they send kind of like a weekly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I got this email and I was like, I wonder who the monster of the Andes is. And I was like, how on earth have I never heard about this person?
Right.
Have you heard about him?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, you're in for a wild ride.
An interesting time.
Interesting time indeed. So this guy actually, when they described him as one of the most prolific serial killers in the world that people have never heard of. So...
makes sense. Why I haven't heard of him.
Yeah, that would make sense. So let's start from the prequel.
Love a good prequel.
As Em would say.
Love a good prequel.
Okay, so Pedro Lopez's father, his name was Medardo Reyes, and he was a member of the Colombian Conservative Party during La Violencia, which was Colombia's civil war. So this was in the the first half of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So after an argument with his wife on December 28th, 1947, Reyes cheated on his wife with a sex worker named Benilda Lopez de Castaneda. Okay. And then she got pregnant.
Uh-oh.
So she got pregnant with Pedro Lopez.
Oh, okay.
The subject of our story.
I understand.
So 3 months into her pregnancy with Lopez, on April 4th, 1948, Pedro Lopez's father, Medardo Reyes, was defending a grocery store from a rebellious mob when he was shot and killed. So 6 months later, Pedro was born in Santa Isabel. His father had been killed.
Right.
And his mother was this sex worker that his dad had cheated on his wife with.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born as the seventh of 13 children.
Holy shit.
So he was a polite child. He wanted to be a teacher when he grew up, but he led a rough childhood. He was obviously the son of a sex worker, and that was really hard for him. When he was 8 years old, his mother caught him fondling his little sister.
Uh-oh.
So she kicked him out of the house.
At eight?
At 8 years old. It was 1957, and he ran away to Bogota, where a stranger offered him a bed to sleep in, because he was living on the street. And so he took the offer, but instead of taking him somewhere safe, the man took him to a deserted house and repeatedly raped him.
Oh, shit.
8 years old. So when he was 12, he was taken in by an American family who had seen him living on the streets, and he was enrolled in a school for orphans. While there, he was sexually assaulted by a male teacher.
God damn it.
Yeah. So after 2 years at the school, he ran away, and by the time he was 18, he was making a living stealing cars and selling them to local chop shops. So he was arrested and jailed for car theft when he was 18. And he was in prison for 7 years. And while he was in prison, he was gang raped by a group of men.
Fuck.
He just can't get a break. And in response, he hunted down and killed each of the men with a homemade knife while he was still in jail.
Wow.
So he went after each and every one and slit their throats.
Jesus.
So after he was released from prison, Lopez continued his violent streak. He had basically gotten a thirst for blood and was like, okay, I enjoy this. And instead of targeting men, he started targeting young girls.
Oh, gosh.
So he was living in Peru, and he started luring young girls to remote areas where he would rape and murder them. What he would do is he would lure them away from marketplaces with the promise of giving them little gifts like mirrors and like fun little toys and trinkets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so these are like little girls.
Little girls.
Oh, my God.
And he would basically look for girls who looked like they could be taken advantage of. Like they were mm-hmm. from lower social status and that kind of thing. A direct quote from him. He said, "I walked among the markets searching for a girl with a certain look on her face, a look of innocence and beauty. She would be a good girl, always working with her mother. I followed them sometimes for 2 or 3 days, waiting for the moment when she was left alone." So he'd basically stalk and prey on these little children.
Jeez.
So he would take them to these secret hideaways where he had already prepared graves for them.
Fuck.
Sometimes he even had bodies of earlier victims already in the graves.
Oh,
and he would, this is really, 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 really messed up. He would basically lull them into a sense of security by cuddling with them.
Like grooming them? No, not grooming them.
No, just he would like literally just cuddle
trick
with them.
Just trick them.
Yeah, he would like hug them and like lay next to them and make them feel safe. And then he would rape and kill them. Always at sunrise, apparently. It's really, 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 really upsetting. So he also said that he often followed and wanted to capture the blonde-haired children of visiting tourists, but he said he never got the chance because their parents were too watchful. So he had an easier time like targeting locals who were comfortable in the area and that kind of thing. After dozens of murders, he was attempting to kidnap a 9-year-old girl when he was captured by members of a local indigenous tribe. So they planned to execute him by burying him alive.
Good.
And before they could kill him, a Christian missionary intervened and convinced the tribe to hand Lopez over to Peruvian police. So Lopez
deserved to bury.
I know, right? So they were like, give him a fair trial, whatever. So Lopez was deported to Colombia, because that's where he was from, but he wasn't charged.
Of course.
So it was all, yeah. He lived in Colombia for a while, then moved to Ecuador, where he later said, I like the girls in Ecuador. They're more gentle and trusting, more innocent.
Ugh.
And at this point in his life, he was killing about 3 girls a week on average.
Jesus Christ. For how long?
You'll find out.
Oh, my God.
So he continued this murder spree until he was trying to snatch 10-year-old Maria Poveda, but her mother saw Lopez walking away hand in hand with her daughter.
Oh, shit. And she went mama bear on him.
Yeah, started screaming. An angry mob pounced on him and held him there until police arrived and they took him into custody. And he wasn't cooperating when questioned. So to solve the problem, they sent an undercover detective into the jail with him. And his name was Pastor Gonzalez. And one article I read, not going to name names, what source this was, but they mistakenly, I believe, called him a pastor because his name was Pastor.
Oh, no.
He wasn't a pastor. Because I was reading it and I was like, he was a detective and a pastor? Like, I was just so confused.
Okay. Maybe he'll meet a pastor named Detective.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry.
Pastor, detective. Anyway, so this guy named Detective Gonzalez went undercover posing as an inmate. And this is how he described his time basically rooming with, what's his last name? Oh, with Lopez.
With Pastor, detective.
No. Okay, so this is how he is. This is how he described it. He said, for 27 days, I hardly slept, afraid I'd be strangled in my sleep. But I tricked Lopez into confessing by pretending I was a rapist, too. He boasted to me of murder after murder in Ecuador, Colombia, and Peru. It was beyond my wildest nightmares. He told me everything.
Jeez.
So that's how they got their confession.
Can you imagine your job being you have to
no.
go undercover in a very, very, very violent prison?
He literally was afraid for his life for an entire month.
Yeah, I would be too.
Especially because this guy killed...
There was some show forever ago, it's like only clips of it are on YouTube now, where guys were voluntarily, and women too, but people were volunteering to go into the prison system just to see like what it was like and see like
what
I forget what the show was, but I remember there being a guy who was like, he was a Marine and was like, at least I can handle myself when I'm in there, and only like 48 hours in he was like, this is
yeah. So he confessed to this other guy, the detective, who also had to pretend to be a rapist just to get the confession. Yeah. He confessed to over 300 murders in various countries. And police didn't believe him. They were like, that's insane. But then a flash flood unearthed a mass grave with dozens of his victims in it.
That was God shaking the world, being like, it's yes. true.
Like, hello. Yeah, seriously, though. Pastor was like,
he was like, God, I knew it.
Show him.
I knew it.
So he was charged with 110 murders in Ecuador alone. And in 1981, he was sentenced to the maximum sentence in the country at the time, which was 16 years.
Oh my God.
Police said Lopez could have been charged with 350 or more murders of missing girls, but the trials would have been all across various countries, and it was just too complex and costly to like get the legal systems in place for that. So it was Colombia, Peru, Ecuador. They think like he could have been responsible for 350 or more murders. So 16 years.
Nothing.
Yeah. After serving 14 of the 16 years, he was released and deported back to Colombia. Because after being released, he, I guess, was rearrested like a day later for being an illegal immigrant. So they like found a way to...
Well, they found a loophole.
Rearrest him. Yeah. So they extradited him back to Colombia. And that was in August of 1994. And he was declared insane and sent to a mental institution. 4 years later, in 1998, he was declared sane and he was released for good behavior on $50 bail.
Okay.
In an interview from his prison cell, he described himself as the man of the century and said,
"Right, me too."
Yeah, me too. Also,
right. Okay, fine.
and said he was being released for good behavior. After he was released, so this was only 4 years in, he visited his elderly mother, and she said that he asked for his inheritance, and then, upon being informed of her poverty, sold her only bed and only chair to people on the street, then vanished, because there was a 2002 murder that he was being connected to. So there was talk of connecting him with, like,
so he fled again.
Another murder that had happened. So he peaced out. And to this day, no one knows where he is.
Jeez.
He's gone. He peaced the fuck out and he's gone. So police said Lopez could have been charged with 350 murders.
At that time, now it's probably even more.
Yeah, and that was in the 90s. So who knows what's happened then. And the people that were interviewed about who were connected to the victims, to his victims, said, like, Lord help anybody who's near, like, this guy.
Path, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The mother of the young girl who was almost taken, who started screaming, she said, he won't live long. It will be a kindness to the world for someone to murder this fiend. The monster of the Andes won't last long on the outside. So nobody knows where he is, or, like, there's varying reports. Some say, like, oh, he was arrested in this country, but there's no proof of that. And other people say, no, he, like, fled to a different continent. Like, nobody knows where the hell he is.
That's terrifying.
But he's not very old, so.
Yeah, how old would he be right now?
Well, he was born in. Well, he's pretty old. He's, like, in his, he's probably 70, 69, still, 70. Like,
some,
not old enough.
There's some sprightly 70-year-olds.
Yeah, and it's not enough for you to, like, assume he's dead, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the story of the monster of the Andes. Jeez. 350 people.
Oh my, to date.
And that's,
like, as far as we know.
And that's, like, a prediction, like, you know, but he was literally charged with 110 murders just in Ecuador alone of young girls, just only.
You know what's
girls.
Creepier, too, is that now that he's older, if he's still out there doing this, now he's got, like, the grandpa persona to play off of. So, like, he can go up to young girls and they just think, oh, this is a kind old man. Because that's even creepier.
So, totally. It really is upsetting that he hasn't been found. So.
Oh, well, we can all sleep easy tonight, at least.
Yeah, lock your damn doors.
All right.
That's the story of the monster of the Andes, Pedro Lopez.
What a
mofo.
For that gift.
You're welcome. Thank you for your gift of Henry St. James. That's what I'm calling him now.
All right. And the Lord Baron, Land Baron.
Yeah, what the hell happened to him? I wanted more about him.
Yeah. Don't we all? I don't know. I like to presume he lived a long life.
I miss
him. A long, hearty life.
I miss him already.
I'll let him know.
Thanks for that. That was fun.
Yeah, I do what I can. Is there anything else that we need to say?
Listen, guys. Love your neighbor.
Oh.
Be good to one another.
Okay. Spay and neuter your animals.
Yeah, spay and neuter your pets. Listen to Bob Barker. Don't fret.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs and don't fret.
Unless it's weed.
Unless it's marijuana and you are a responsible adult.
Or alcohol. If, you know, I feel like that'd be Christine's first. Listen, asterisk and footnote on that.
Caffeine is also a drug.
That's true. Tell the soda and coffee drinkers.
Do caffeine. Unless soda, that's not good for you.
Okay. Do coffee.
Coffee and tea.
Do coffee in the morning, red wine at night.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some ice cream in there.
Do what I do.
Oh.
Be me.
Oh.
And you'll be fine.
Get a 2-liter bottle of wine meant for a party and drink it yourself.
But don't get it yourself. Make your friend do it.
Right. Yep. Yep. thank you, guys. You can find our social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, ATWWD Podcast. You can also find our website at andthatswhywedrink.com. You can find our shop at andthatswhywedrink.bigcartel.com. You can find our Patreon at ATWWD Podcast. You can also find our email at andthatswhywedrink@gmail.com, where you can write in your listener stories. We put them out every first of the month.
And we are reading them. We're behind, but we're reading them, I promise.
We're behind, but we're also not as behind as we have been. We're catching up.
But we're still getting those ones that are like, did you get my email? And I'm like,
they're coming.
We're coming.
We're at least going to respond to you eventually.
We care about you.
I think that's it.
That's it. And also, come meet us in Nashville in May.
Yeah.
Come to CrimeCon.
But also don't commit to it yet until January 1st when we have a promo code. So like, just think about it. Put it on your own vision boards.
Put it on your mantle.
Put it on your mantle.
Put it in your brain and your dream journal and be like, this is my thought, but I haven't committed yet.
Also, I don't know if this is something they can do, but you guys should write into the Webbies and tell them to nominate us.
Oh yeah. Also, that's a thing.
We have been invited to the Webbies.
Yes.
We have not been nominated for anything yet. And I don't know if... And maybe them bombarding the Webby's judges would be bad for us, but it might also be good for us.
Who knows? Just put it on your vision
board. Half of you agree to write into the Webby's.
Some of you do, some of you don't. Some of you just dream about it.
Just put out the energy.
Put out the vibes.
Put out the vibes. Hopefully they'll catch them.
Vibe it in there.
Mm-hmm.
They'll catch it in their web. Get it?
God.
Okay.
Stupid. in their world wide web.
Come on. You can't say it's stupid and then make your own joke.
Also, this comes out on the 16th, on the 17th.
I don't know.
Which means the next one that comes out will be Christmas Eve.
Oh my God. Or as the Germans call it, Christmas.
Oh, all right.
It's my Christmas.
Well, until we...
That's... Wow. We gotta figure that shit out.
Yep.
Okay. We'll be there, guys. Well,
you'll hear something from us. We don't know what it'll be, but...
It might be a long-distance Skype conversation.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Who knows?
Eve.
If you are Jewish, happy Hanukkah. It is Hanukkah.
Yes, it is Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Happy currently is the third day of Hanukkah.
Happy third day of Hanukkah.
But when you hear this, it'll be the fifth day.
Oh my God. Sixth day.
Sixth day of Hanukkah.
God.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Don't
anyway.
Schwitz around, you know?
Putz around.
Whatever. I'm schwitzing like usual.
Nope. God. All right. Anyway, guys, thank you. And that's why we drink.
And that's what this is literally the reason.
And that's why we drink.
And that's why we drink. Bye.
Clink.
Shabbat shalom.
In the home.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.